right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to begin. And moving into lesson number 8 in our discipleship course. And this morning we're looking at the idea of stewardship. The idea of stewardship. And just very simply, we covered this once before. I want to say about a year ago in January on Sunday mornings, we went through an entire series on what it means to be a steward and what entails stewardship. And so we'll not take too much time to belabor the point on some of these, as most of them are already known to us. But a steward is just simply one who is a house manager, kind of an overseer, by extension of a fiscal agent, a governor, and God. Ultimately, he's the owner. He's the, for lack of a better term, the house owner, that he goes away and he entrusts us with his house. And the question is he going to come back and find his house intact, or is he going to come back and find his house burnt to the ground? And, maybe some of you, when you were in high school, your parents went away and, they said, okay, now no parties and, no people over. And, somehow people, it's like they knew that your parents were out of town, and somehow they just, found their way to your house. You didn't invite them, but they just found their way to your house. And, God, he's the owner. And in fact, this morning we were, kind of talking about something that is, similar. One of the ladies, they said, well, who owns the church? And, I said, well, the church owns the church from a government point of view. But, God ultimately owns the church. And we have been put here as his stewards to take care of the church, to guide for the church, to care for the church, and to care for those people that come in and are passed through the doors and come through our care. And so God, he's the owner. He's allowing his servant, the Christian, to be the manager of earthly goods, to be the manager of earthly possessions. And 1 Corinthians 4:2, in fact, this was our theme our first year here. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says that the one requirement for stewards is that we be found faithful. And, there's a lot of things that people in churches, they can't do anymore, whether it's because they get older, they get sick, they get whatever the case may be, but we can still all be faithful. We can be faithful to our prayer time, to our Bible reading, to, there's people today, they can't come to church because they're shut in, they're older, and if they could be here, they would be here, but just because of how life goes, they can't be here. But some of those shut-ins, you go and you talk to them, and they talk about how they still read their Bible, they still pray, they still listen to sermons on, on the TV, or now you can get it on, online. And so even though, people are kind of, shut in, they're not really shut in now, especially with the internet. They can, watch the live stream, they can watch, they can listen to the sermons later on, but we can all still find something to be faithful in. That's what is required of a steward. That's what's required to be a steward. And so this simply means that we're to be trustworthy with what God has given us. It's like if someone comes to you and says, okay, here's, my debit card. I want you to go to the store, and here's a list, and here's what I want you to buy, and you can get yourself something. And, now you've been entrusted with that debit card. That's not your debit card. That's that person's debit card. So while they may have given you permission to get something for yourself, you don't go hog wild and buy, the most expensive thing. What?
A PlayStation.
Yeah, you don't go and buy a PlayStation if somebody gives you their debit card, especially if you don't know how much money they have, because, $500, you go swipe that thing and it just say, oh, declined. And, that can be pretty embarrassing. In fact, we went down to Texas for a vacation here a couple years ago, and we were going from Oklahoma to Texas to Philly, and so we drove to Texas, and then we were going to fly to Philly from Texas, and so we get down to Texas, and like you always have to do when you go on vacation somewhere. You got to go to Walmart, you know, get a couple essentials. So we go through the line, and we have about what, $50 worth of stuff. I don't know.
A couple hundred.
Yeah. So we go. We swipe our card. Declined. Like, okay, so, and we had just gotten breakfast that morning at McDonald's, and the card worked just fine.
And we had forgotten our card at the McDonald's.
Thankfully, there were some honest people at the McDonald's, but we swipe it again, declined. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, what is going on? And so we call our bank, and they said, well, we noticed you made a purchase in Texas. You live in Oklahoma, so we put a hold on your card so you can't use it. And I'm thinking, thank you. Can you release the hold now, please? We're in Texas. And so we were able to get our things. But, you know, nothing more embarrassing than when you go through the line, you swipe your card, and it says declined. And so, but, you know, again, you know, they give you your debit card, not your debit card, but their debit card. So you've been given stewardship over that card for that time being. And so you're there in Luke chapter 6. Who'd like to read there? Verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again.
All right, and so the part of that verse we want to focus on is that first verse, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, this particular lesson does not cover all three aspects of stewardship. Stewardship is just not, this part is dealing with our money giving, but there's also two other parts to giving and stewardship. And the first is our time, and then the second one is our talents. And, you know, there are some people that, you know, they can't necessarily give a lot of money to the church. And, you know, the church should not be in it for the money. The church is here to, number one, honor and worship the Lord, and then bring others to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to help them grow in their relationship with Christ. And so, I remember about a year ago, I was going through the news, and there's this Baptist church that they sent a letter to this. She was a single mom. I think she had two kids, and they were apparently enrolled in the Christian school that the church had. And the church sent her a letter that basically said she was behind in her tithes and her offerings by about, a couple thousand dollars. And they said, if you do not bring your account current, your membership will be rescinded, your kids kicked out of the school. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, whatever somebody gives, number one, is between them and the Lord. It's between them and God. It's not between anybody else or between the leadership of the church. I make it a point. I don't know who gives. I don't know who gives what. That's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. Miss Rose?
When I was growing up, Nichols, in that little church, I was laughing with my brother Jim about it the other day. But we had a little old, she was a little old colored lady, and she didn't have anything to put in the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But when the plate would go by, she'd ping the bottom. But my dad was unsaved. He had very tight hold of the finances in our home.
Mm-hmm.
So she had nothing to put in the plate. But I think God in his mercy understood that, and I don't think he looked down on her.
Yeah.
I think God understood that.
She absolutely
didn't have it because, you know, her circumstances.
Yeah, no.
And, so and taking her membership away and all that would have been wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I admit there is a level of embarrassment. I think it's a human, you know, when the offering plate is passed, if you don't have something to put in, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you kind of put your head down, look away or whatever. And you know, I've been guilty of that because I've been to church conferences And I don't know about anybody else here, but I very rarely carry cash anymore. Everything we do is on our debit cards. In fact, I gave my offering for today. Last night, I went online and just did it all online. And then I just have to fill out the envelope and put it in the plate this morning. And
so you put it in a blank envelope?
Yeah, I put it in a blank envelope. And I say that to say this. I've been to some church conferences. They're getting ready to pass the plate. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I have no cash. But praise the Lord, there's an offering envelope sitting in that pew. And I'll get that offering envelope, and, you know, I won't fill it in. I'll put it in upside down. Because, you know, it's that human nature. It's like, okay, you want to get some. Now, there's some churches that, there's a thing out there now. They have an offering plate, but instead of the offering plate just being hollow in the middle where you put your offerings in, it's an offering plate, but it has a credit card machine in the center. So people can take the offering plate and say, oh, no cash. It's okay, card. And you can swipe your card now in the offering plate. And what's that?
That would be a long offering
if we had to wait everybody. Some churches, they have ATMs in the lobby. Some churches, I know a church in Oklahoma City, the pastor's a real good friend, the church is a real good church, but on their offering envelope, they have a place on the back where you can put your credit card information, and then on Monday morning, the church will run your credit card information for whatever the amount is that you put on the offering envelope, and then they will shred the offering envelope. And so we're in a whole new age now where there's a whole bunch of ways to give, but I want you to understand this morning, stewardship is just not about our money. Yeah. Stewardship is just not about how much we can give. Stewardship is about our time and our talent. Are we giving the Lord our time? Are we giving the Lord our talents, those things that we're good at? There are things that you're good at that I'm not good at. There are things I'm good at that you're not good at. We're going to look at it in the morning service a little bit. And those things, they complement each other. They help us as a church lift the load of the church and lift the burdens of one another. And so where I might not be able to do something, you can step in and do that. And where you might not be able to do something, I can step in and do that. And so that's what stewardship is, giving of our time and our talent. And then if the Lord has our time, if he has our talent, eventually he's going to have our treasure, because eventually you're going to start seeing things around the church and you're thinking, oh, I'd like to help with that, or I'd like to help with that. And so all these things, they fall into place. And so we want to see number one this morning. We want to see the reason for stewardship. The reason for stewardship. And so everything that we have that is in our possession, no matter what it is, no matter what it is you think of it, it truly belongs to God. And all that has been done, it's been loaned to us. It's been given to us for a short time while we are here on this earth for us to use. We've basically borrowed it. It's basically like you think about it, it's a spiritual lending library that God has given us a short amount of time to steward over these things. So God has graciously given us time. He's given us talents. He's given us treasures to man that he might be the steward over during our lifetime. And David, the Bible, calls David a man after God's own heart. He tells us in 1 Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And so we see there, all things come from God. Every good gift and perfect gift, James tells us, comes from above. And so who'd like to look up there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 23. And then we're in 1 Corinthians for this entire point. We'll go to chapter 6, chapter 7, and then chapter 10. And but who'd like to read there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
All right, and so we see there, 1 Corinthians 3:23, and ye are whose?
Christ.
That's right, so that fill in the blank there. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And so, as Christians... Did you read the wrong one?
She read the next one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, she read 6:20.
I read the next one.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Okay, read verse 23 for us.
You, hang on. I'm ahead of myself here. See, 1 Corinthians 3:23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God.
All right, so we see, and ye are whose?
Christ.
Christ, that's right, and ye are Christ. And so, as Christians, we belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God, and in turn, we belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Who'd like to read that for us?
I got it.
Oh, okay, Ms. Martha, go ahead.
I'll read it again. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
All right, and so there again we see, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are whose?
God's.
Which are God's. And so again, we see everything we have is God's. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. Michaela, go ahead.
For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant.
All right. So we see there that we are whose freemen?
Lord.
We are the Lord's freemen. That's right. And we being free is Christ's what?
Servant.
That's right. So we see there that that's all we are. We are his servant. We're his child. He loves us. And no one ought to think more highly of himself than anybody else. We are his servant. And then finally there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. Brother Kenny?
For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
All right, so here, if it leaves any doubt, for the what?
Earth.
For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that encounter encompasses a whole lot. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. So this big earth that we live in, it's his. And everything that's in the earth is his. And so that's why we have stewardship. Because everything belongs to him. That's why we give him our time. That's why we give him our talent. That's why we give him our treasure. And so that's why. So then secondly, we see the requirements for stewardship. We see the requirements for stewardship. And so the first requirement for stewardship, number one, is to bring the tithe. Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That word storehouse in Malachi is referring to the church. You notice that word bring is used. It's the word there is not used as give. Because again, everything belongs to God. The tithe belongs to God. So, therefore, you know, on a Sunday morning when we have our offering, the Christian does not give a tithe to God. He brings a tithe. And so the only requirement we find in the Bible when it comes to how much we're supposed to give, the Lord says we're to give 10% of our money to the Lord's work. That's the only requirement to give. So once we bring that 10% to the Lord and give it to the Lord, anything above that is our offering. Anything above that is what we give to the Lord. So you think of it this way. Let's say you make, $200 a week. So your tithe off of $200 a week would be $20. That's 10% of $200. But let's say instead of giving $20 or bringing $20 that week, you give $50. In your offering envelope. So $20 is your tithe. And then for the remaining 30, you split it up over missions. You split it up over the building fund. You split it up over the benevolence fund. And so that $30 then becomes your offering, which is over and above your tithe. And so that's what the tithe is. And so a tithe is simply 10% of a person's financial income. So if you get a dollar, 10 cents of that dollar is your tithe. $1 of every $10, $10 of every $100 belongs to God. And so as Christians, we're commanded to bring the tithe to God's house and to give to the Lord. Now, again, in the advent of giving online, this week I did not technically bring my tithe this morning. I already brought it. I brought it last night when I gave it online. Now, this morning I'll just put in that empty offering envelope and I wrote on it, given online. And next year we'll get our new offering envelopes and there'll be a box on there that, you know, if you give online, you can just check it and it says given online. And the reason we still put the envelope in is for just the accounting purposes. And so when they're counting the money after a service, they can better keep track of it and things like that. But so the tithe, we're to bring the tithe to God's house. So we see the requirement to bring the tithe. You say, who's to bring the tithe? Well, that's what we see next. We see the person, everyone. Every believer is responsible to bring tithes and give offerings to the Lord. Now, again, this is going to vary based on, you know, your income. This is going to vary based on different things that you have going on. And I almost forgot to put up our little sign there. There we go. Stewardship. And I know, visuals help. And that's also why, you know, we don't have necessarily yard sales or bazaars or fundraisers or different things like that. Because if, as a church, we follow God's plan is for every believer to give 10%, then the church is never going to suffer. The church is never going to go without. The church is always going to be able to pay its bills, pay its missionaries, pay its staff if it has one. And all of these things are taken care of through the tithe. Now, everything else is secondary. So what we take care of first as a church, the essentials, the important things, we take care of the bills, we take care of the missionaries, we take care of the staff. And those are the three things. Now, if we have nothing left over after those things are taken care of, then we don't do anything else. We don't, one of the things I said when we first got here, I don't believe in getting in debt. I don't believe in going and, you know, taking out loans, because the Bible says that we're to be debtor to no man. And when you take out loans, then you become a debtor to the bank. And if you miss one payment, my soul, it's like you miss one payment at, and it was due at 5 o'clock. If the bank is open until 6 o'clock, at 5:01, it seems like they're calling you. Where was your payment? And so I don't believe in that. I believe, you know, we save for things, and when we save for things, then we're able to go out and do it. And now some things we have to step out by faith and, you know, just do. And I believe the Lord, he rewards our faithfulness. He rewards us stepping out by faith. This past month, we had to have that sidewalk fixed, and that cost a little over $5,000 to have it fixed. Well, we had somebody send a donation for $3,000, and then I go online, I'm checking the online giving to print off the different sheets for Joe, and somebody who, as far as I know, since we've been here, they've never been to this church, they gave an online offering for $2,000. So that project cost a little over $5,000. We went out, we had it in the bank, we had it in the building fund. We went out, we paid it, we got it done, and then the Lord, he rewarded that faith and nearly replaced that entire amount that we had to go out and spend. And so sometimes we have to step out on faith, but we also, I believe the Bible teaches us to be wise in our stewardship, be wise in our giving. So we'll run through these next ones here quickly. We won't look them up. I'll just give you the words for the fill in the blank on page number 2, 1 Corinthians 16:2. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So that fill in the blank there, every one of you. So again, we see the truth that everyone needs to give to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So again, we see everyone is to give to the Lord. And then we see not only the person, we see the place. Where are we to give our offering? And we see we're to give it to the church. And so the scripture, the Bible, teaches us to bring the tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3:10. The storehouse is the local church today. And whenever you find reference made to the place of tithing in the Bible, it is always at the place of worship, which is the church. You can see that in Mark chapter 12. And so the tithe, again, is not the Christians to give to the media ministries, to the TV preachers, to charities, or even those in need. Leviticus 27, 30 through 32, and all the tithe of the land is holy unto the Lord. Matthew 23, 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And so that fill in the blank there under Matthew 23, 23 is undone. Hebrews 7, 2, the Bible says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. And so that fill in the blank there, Hebrews 7, 2, Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So again, we see the concept, the principle, 10% of everything we have is to be given to the Lord. And so we see this morning, we see the requirements for stewards and for stewardship is to bring the tithe. And then secondly, is to give an offering. Is to give an offering. And so an offering, again, is anything that is given to the Lord above the tithe. It has been said, tithing proves a person's honesty. An offering proves a person's love. An offering would be what is given to missionaries, the church building fund, or other special offerings, as we mentioned earlier. And so above the tithe, every man gives as he purposes in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. The Bible tells us God loves a cheerful giver. Again, just like we don't tell you what to give as far as your tithe goes, we don't tell you what to give as far as your offering goes. Some people, all they can give is the tithe. They can't give to missions. They can't give to the building fund. They can't give to the benevolence fund. And that's all right. The Lord knows what is in your heart. So how are we to give? Number one, we're to give bountifully. We're to give bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so those first two fill in the blanks under to give an offering is bountifully. We are to give bountifully to the Lord. So we're to give bountifully over and above what we can. You can never outgive the Lord. You can never outgive God. You will always receive a blessing for having given to God. We're to give bountifully. Secondly, we're to give willingly. 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And so we see there, for if there be first a willing mind. If we give grudgingly, it's better that we didn't give at all. The Lord wants us to be willingly in our giving. And then we see, thirdly, we're to give cheerfully. We're to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Bible says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're to be cheerful when we give the Lord. Be cheerful when we are able to help the Lord's work. And then fourthly, we're supposed to give sacrificially. We're to give sacrificially. Mark 12:44, for all that he did cast in of their abundance, But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You know, sometimes there'll be weeks you say, oh, I don't know how I can give this. That's where sacrificially comes in. That's where the rubber meets the road. Are you still going to give even when it seems like you can't? And the Lord will bless because of that. And we see sacrificial giving is blessed greatly by God. It's blessed greatly by the Lord. It's shown by the account of the widow there in 1 Kings chapter 17. However, sacrificial giving does not begin again until a person first gives himself to the Lord. So again, if he has your time, if he has your talent, he's going to have your treasure. The Christians in the Church of Macedonia, the Bible tells us they were perfect examples of those who gave sacrificially after they gave themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then, so we see the reason, we see the requirements, and then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the rewards for stewardship. We see the rewards for stewardship. So giving to God is not a gamble. Giving to God is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's like, well, if I give to God, then he's going to bless me tenfold in return, and I'm going to become rich off of this. No, that's not what it is. The believer's giving should not be based on whether or not God blesses us. Our basis for giving is because God commands us to give, and we want to honor the Lord with our life. And however, God does promise several blessings for giving, both of your time, your talent, and your treasures, for being a wise steward over what he has given us. So here's blessing number one. Open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Malachi 3:10. The Lord has promised to bless us. B, rebuke the devourer, talking about the devil, for your sakes. Malachi 3:11. C, here's the best one. Treasures in heaven. You know, you give here on this earth, you have treasures waiting for you when you get to heaven. Matthew 6:20. D, causeth through us thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. And then blessing number 5. And these are just covering the surface of the blessings we get from God for being faithful. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. In other words, you will have enough. You will never lack. Your needs will be met. Your needs will be taken care of. And again, though there are many more blessings, there's many more examples of blessings, examples of giving, it can be suffice to say, one cannot outgive God. One cannot outserve the Lord in being a faithful steward. And so we see this morning, giving unto the God is part of the Christian's worship. Psalm 96, verse 8, that's why we have the offering during the service, because in some churches they call it worship through giving, because that's what it is. It's still worshiping the Lord. It's an expression of love to God. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 and 24. And so we close again with the verse we started with this morning, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Christians, we often give expecting to receive more in return. But what many fail to realize is that while God promises to give back, and he will give back, he also promises to use the same measuring system as the Christian use. He that used the teaspoon, the Bible tells us, to give to God, cannot expect God to then use a bushel basket to give back to him. God will press down and cause it to run over. But if it's a teaspoon that is being pressed down, it may not seem like very much. And so let this be an encouragement to you this morning. Give, it shall be given to you. And we can never outgive the Lord. Let's pray.